They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Amen. Amazing, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Of God that we're able to enter into his presence one more time. Amen. And every time you get to the house of worship, you ought to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Anybody coming here with praise on your lips this morning? Amen. God is worthy of all of our praise. Amen. For he's been just that good. Amen. I want to call your attention to the First Timothy. Amen. First Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse number 12. Amen. Verse 12 says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is of God. Amen. I'm in 2 Timothy. Amen. Thank you, man. Amen. Amen. Let's try that again. Amen. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Amen. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came unto the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor, glory, forever and ever. Amen. 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 I want to talk today from the thought, thank God for mercy. Thank God for mercy. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Reverend McAllister, for pulling my coattail. Amen. Amen. After spending 3 years preaching and teaching at Ephesus, Paul left the church in the hands of a capable young preacher named Timothy. Timothy was a young man in his first pastorate, and he encountered his share of problems. He had to combat false teachers. He had to overcome the rise of false doctrines. There was disorder in the worship service. He had to find and train qualified church leaders. There was a sin of materialism. In the midst of all of this, some people in the church thought Timothy was too young. He was about the age of 30 at this time, and so some older members had a problem with his age. So here is this young, inexperienced pastor trying to deal with people who are stubborn, unlearned concerning Christ, people that needed to be trained and will not follow instructions. Kind of sounds like my Mariah, doesn't it? But Paul places Timothy over this fledgling congregation. But he's having some trouble leading them. They despise his youth. So Paul admonishes him. Paul exhorts him to let no man despise your youth. He says, stir up the gift that is in you. Paul says, Timothy, I know it's in you. Paul says, I see it in you. It was in your grandmother. It was in your mother. You were raised right. It's been in you. It was put in you by your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. Don't let anybody criticize you because of your youth. I know it's in there. And that's why I look at a lot of you in my Mariah today who are not acting like you ought to act, or not doing what you ought to do. The young people in here who sometimes go astray, listen, I know it's in you because I know who your parents are. I know who your parents were. I know it's in you. Paul says it's in you. All you got to do is stir it up. Anybody ever made Kool-Aid? I made some good red Kool-Aid the other day. I got the water and I put a pack of red Kool-Aid in there, Rum Welch, and as I was looking, the water was real light, and I looked on the bottom of the pitcher, all of the ingredients, all of the contents had settled to the bottom, and I tasted it before I stirred it. It didn't taste real well, but after getting a long handle spoon and stirring it, and stirring it, it came out real good. And the problem with a whole lot of you all is that you've decided to sit down and do nothing. And because you've sat down and done nothing, you become stale, and the Lord really can't use you. The Lord says today in the Word, you need to stir up the gift that is in you. I dare you to have a gift and won't use it for the Lord. I dare you to have talent and won't use it for the Lord. Paul says to Timothy, you got to stir it up. I wish I had a witness in here today. You got to, if you want it to be good, stir it up. Paul says, don't let anybody criticize you because of your youth. He says, you're inexperienced. So Paul admonishes him and encourages young Timothy. And he says, if you want to talk about having a hard time, he says, Paul says, let me give you my testimony. And when Paul relates to Timothy his testimony, what he's actually sharing with Timothy is that, listen, this is what the Lord has done for me. So let me tell you about the grace and the mercy of the Lord. And if the Lord can do this in my life, surely the Lord can do it in your life. And listen, whenever you tell your testimony, whenever you share your faith, always remember to tell them what you were before God got his hands on you. Listen, you ought not be ashamed to let folk know what you were before the Lord got his hands on you. Brothers and sisters, some of us are looking good this morning. We're dressed up in here this morning. We're made up, we're dressed up, we drove up, but you should have seen us before the Lord got his hands on us. Oh, you bragging now. You bragging now about what you are. But listen, you should have known some of us 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. Look at where the Lord has brought you from. When I shout, when I raise my hands, when I open my mouth, I'm just shouting the testimony of what the Lord has done for me. Now, all of us don't have the same testimony. Everybody ain't got the same testimony. All of us wasn't on drugs. All of us didn't go to jail. All of us wasn't living on the street. But if that wasn't you, then you ought to be able to testify that, listen, that God kept me from it. No, I didn't get drunk. I wasn't on drugs. But I thank the Lord that he kept me from it. He might not have brought me from it, but I thank him he kept me from it. I could have been dead. Listen, I need a witness in here today. I thank God for my story. I thank God for my testimony. I thank God for the trials he's already brought me through, for the hard time that I endured. Because, listen, if it had not been for the Lord, I wouldn't be where I am right now. I'm not all that I ought to be, but I sure thank God I'm not what I used to be. So my testimony, like Paul's, is that's what the Lord did for me. That's how the Lord brought me forward. Somebody was sick and he made you well. You were broken, he paid your bills. You were down and he picked you up. You were depressed and he lifted up your bowed down head. You thought you would never smile again, but God put a new song on your lips. You thought you would never stop crying, but your testimony is weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. Anybody here today can be a witness that the Lord will. Come on. Let me give you a minute or two to tell somebody next to you, that's what the Lord's done for me. Oh, that was the wrong neighbor. Listen, he put food on my table, put a roof over my head, put clothes on my back, clapping in my hands. The Lord made a way for you. And when you get up, when you make up, when you dress up, when you drive up, you ought to tell your neighbor, don't expect me to shut up. I came to praise the Lord. I came to lift my hands. I came to tell my story, because you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. Listen, is there anybody here today can be a witness that, listen, you don't know what I've gone through. You don't know how many trials and tribulations I've had. And you ask me why I act like I act when I get to church. You just don't know my story. Come on, I need some honest folk in here can be a witness that the Lord's brought me through some hard times. The Lord brought me through some low valleys. But listen, I'm here today to let the world know I thank God. How many know it ain't nobody but the Lord? How many know if it wasn't for Jesus? And you expect me to shut up and sit here and act like the Lord ain't? Maybe you can do that, but I can't do that. The Lord's done. Done too much for me. Made too many ways for me. Opened too many doors for me. kept the hellhounds off my trail. And I just can't thank him enough. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank him enough. I only got one, so I'm going to use the one I got to tell God, thank you. Listen, let everything that has breath, everybody in here today ought to praise the Lord. Well, let's look at Paul's testimony. Let's look at how he admonishes and encourages young Timothy from his own life. And maybe Paul can encourage somebody in here today who needs to be encouraged, because when you really look at it, all you can testify about is what God has done in your life. You might not know all of the books of the Bible. You may not have gone to seminary. Listen, you don't need that to testify. You don't need that to be a witness. All you need to do is talk about what you've seen and you've heard. Listen, I've seen God open doors. I've watched God make my enemies my footstool. I've seen God make a way out of nowhere. I've seen people who were against me, God made them love me. I saw things that I should have been taken out, but God stepped right in on time. Wish I had somebody else who don't mind testifying. You're not embarrassed to be a witness. I know for myself that the Lord's been good to me. In verses 13 through 15, Paul testifies as a sinner. Paul testifies as a sinner. The writer of most of the New Testament testifies as a sinner. He says, I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was injurious. That means I'm not just looking for trouble to get into, but I obtained mercy because I did it out of ignorance. Paul says, I was ignorant. Don't ever brag on being a fool. Repent for your foolishness, but don't brag on being a fool. Your folks say all the time, child, you know I did the fool. That ain't nothing to brag about. But Paul says, I did what I did, not out of a fool, because I was ignorant. Ignorant means I just did not know any better. Wish I had some honest folk in here today who are not ashamed to admit that I've done some ignorant stuff. I know y'all not going to admit it, but even in my own ignorance, God brought me through. He kept me, never left me. Ain't anybody here like Paul can remember when you were ignorant? Come on. I know you don't want your neighbor to know. They looking at me. They're not looking at you, so it's all right. Can anybody admit to being ignorant here that you've done some ignorant stuff that you, when you look back on it, you realize just how ignorant? And listen, some of you were worse than ignorant. You took the aura out of it. You were just plain ignorant. Any ignorant folk in here today can admit, Pastor, I thank the Lord that he kept me during my ignorance. Paul says, I was a persecutor. I was a blasphemer. Paul says, I was literally looking for trouble. Paul says, but I received mercy. Because I did it in ignorance. How many know that the only reason you're here today is because of God's mercy? Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Paul says, as ignorant as I was, you can say many of you like Paul, as ignorant as I was, but the mercy of God kept me here. Now you can pretend and act like you want that all you want to, but you know God's, you know just how ignorant you were, and if nobody else knows it, you and the Lord know the only reason you're here today is because of God's mercy. Paul was persecuting the church. Thought he was doing the right thing. And how many know many of us are doing the wrong thing thinking it's the right thing? And listen, y'all can get mad at me if you want to, but it's the truth. Listen. Our president really thinks he's doing the right thing. Can I be honest with y'all? You know the problem with our president? He's ignorant. He simply does not know. He really thinks he's doing the right thing when he talks down to people the way he talks down to people. Because listen, he's always been in charge. He's always had the money. He's always had the power. And so he's only continuing what he's always done all of his life.
So he really thinks that he's doing the right thing. And that's one reason I pray for him, because I pray for his ignorance, that somehow God would shine a light and help him understand that he's really wrong, but he thinks he's right. And how many of you know some people today who no matter how much you talk to them, no matter how much you say you're doing wrong, they can't see it because they're still in their ignorance. Paul was persecuting the church. Thought he was doing the right thing. And you can actually think you're doing the right thing and be doing the wrong thing. He says, this is a fateful saying. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Here it is, of whom I am the chief. Paul said, ain't nobody a bigger sinner than me. And most of our problem is we think we better than the next sinner. Well, you know, Pastor, all I do is lie a little bit. You know, I just tell a white lie. I'm not as bad as Reverend Washington that gets drunk every night. I'm not that bad. I'm not as bad as Reverend Smith who run all over town. I'm not that bad. I'm just a little liar. But somewhere I read in the Word where it says a liar shall not tarry in my sight. And Jesus said, if you think you're good, if you think you're all of that, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. Even at your best. Paul says, I was a crook. I was a wretch. Any sin you can name, some of us in here, we did it. Now, we're not bragging on it. We're ashamed of it, but the mercy of God is the reason we're here today. Let me talk to some chief sinners in here today. I need to talk to some chief sinners. Some of us know that if the Lord hadn't covered us, if the Lord hadn't come to see about us in the nick of time, we would be in jail, prison, or dead right now. How many can testify, I'm not here because I'm so holy. I'm not here because I'm so righteous. But thank God for his grace and his mercy. And listen, if you hadn't sinned much, you don't praise much. But for those of us who can identify with Paul as the chief sinner, we've got so much to shout about. Any chief sinners in here today? Come on, I'm going to raise both of my hands. Any chief sinners in here today that know you did what you did when you did what you did, but you thank God that his mercy and his grace covered you, the blood of Jesus. Folk wonder why you holler and make so much noise. You don't know I was a chief sinner, but I obtained mercy. You see my glory, but you don't know my struggle. Listen, this is not just some Joe Blow who is writing, but this is Paul. Paul says, I was all of that. This is Paul who writes over half of the New Testament scripture, and yet he calls himself chief among sinners. And that ought to say to some of you who think you're so holy, so perfect, and so righteous, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Paul is real with Timothy, and some of us need to stop acting like we've been so holy all of our lives and be real with these young folk. Tell them, yes, I got pregnant as a teenager. I got somebody pregnant as a teenager. I smoked, I drank, I went to jail, and I'm not bragging about it. It's my testimony of the mercy of God. Mercy is God keeping me from what I deserve, and grace is God giving me what I don't deserve. Paul says, look at what I did. I blasphemed. I persecuted. I'm guilty of that. I caused trouble for the church. Sin, you name it, I've done it. Listen. Story told of this preacher that was preaching one Sunday. And listen, he was really preaching. He was going at it. He was preaching so hard and good that this woman in the balcony got happy and fell over the balcony. She had the presence of mind to grab hold of a light fixture, and her dress went up over her head. Pastor said, whoever looks at this woman will be struck blind.
Chairman of Deacon Board says, well, I'm going to take a chance on this eye. And there are some of us, as good as long as there is no temptation, we're good. We're holy as long as there's no bottle around, there's no drinks on the table, no lights turned on, no slow music playing. But the minute we get around our temptations, we're on our way to sinning and asking God for mercy. Because he's so long-suffering. He's so slow to answer. Anger, if you don't ask him, listen, if you ask him, he will forgive you. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and then cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Listen, you can't shout if you don't confess. You can't get happy if you don't confess. Paul says, I was not just a sinner, but Paul says, I was guilty as charged. In another passage, he says, I am what I am. He says, but God delivered me from all of that. And says, in essence, to Timothy, that's what the Lord has done for me. But then Timothy testifies as a saint, but then Paul testifies as a saint because we are dual citizens. We are citizens of heaven, and we're citizens also here on earth. And as long as we're in the flesh, this body of sin and contamination, we will always need mercy and grace. Paul says, I am chief among sinners. That's my earthly citizenship. But he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That's my heavenly citizenship. Paul says, every time I desire to do good, evil is always present. Anybody ever been there? The good thing that I would do, I find myself not doing. And the evil thing that I want to do, that's what I find myself doing. That's my earthly citizenship. Anybody can admit that it's a fight every day? That you're trying to do the right thing. You're trying to live holy. You're trying to be all the Christian that you can be. But it never fails, that one joker that knows how to push your button. As soon as you walk in an office on Monday morning, as soon as you walk into Mama Mariah on Sunday morning, that is in front of you. Paul says, it's always a fight. And when I want to do good, evil is always present. And I don't care how holy you are. I don't care how saved you are. There is something that gets under your skin. Oh, come on, come on, come on. I need to talk to the real folk in here today. All y'all holier than thou. Y'all gonna be. I need to talk to the real folk in here today. You just got through tearing the church up singing a solo, but as soon as you get out, that person that knows how to get under your skin, that, listen, is there anybody here today can be a witness that I'm still wrestling with some stuff? I'm still trying to overcome some stuff. But thanks be to God, who delivers me from this body of wickedness and death. That's my heavenly citizenship. There's a war going on. Conflict between the flesh and the spirit. And how many can be a witness today? The hardest thing to bring under submission is this. Come on, come on, come on, because you know you got some stuff you like to do. Look at y'all acting stuck up this morning. You got some stuff you know that you really like to do. Some places you really like to go. Am I preaching anybody in here today? Some people you got to stay away from because you're not strong enough yet. Come on, come on, come on, y'all acting uppity on me in here this morning, because you know if you get around that certain person, she can say the right thing, and what you said you wasn't gonna do no more, you find yourself doing it. Paul said. So war going on. Sometimes the flesh wins. Sometimes the spirit wins. And if we were honest in here today, it's always a fight to do what's right. It's always a fight to do what's right. And when you do right, don't brag on it.
Don't stick your chest out, because 10 minutes later, that old man can rise up, and in the very thing that you said you'd never do again, you find yourself doing that very thing. Amen. Amen. I'm saved by the grace of God. My testimony is I've got some issue, but God loves me. So much has given me a chance to get it straight. That's Paul's testimony as a sinner. Then he testifies as a saint. And then in verse 12, he testifies as a saint. He says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful. That's an accounting term. He puts faithfulness on my account. He counted me faithful. It's in the next verse, putting me in the ministry. He put me in the ministry with my old no good self. He put me in the ministry with my low down self. He put me in the choir. With my undeserving self, he put me on the deacon board. With my dirty, low-down self, he allows me to usher. Is there anybody here today can be a witness? He said, I don't deserve it, but he put me in the ministry. It was not my desire. I didn't run after him. He came looking for me. He called me. I did not see him. He sought me. Those who preach, teach, sing, or whatever you do in church, God put you in that ministry. And God gifted you with the ability. God gave you the power. And that's why I can't nobody run me away from the Lord's house. You didn't put me in the choir. So how in the hell are you going to run me out of the choir? You know, and this ain't on the paper. This is just for free. I get so sick of folk. Pastor, I'm just going to get out. Cause I'm just sick of the mess. I'm giving it up. I'm just going to quit. The folk getting on my nerves. My thing is, if you're doing it for the folk, if you're doing it for the members, you're going to always be upset. But how many know only what you do for Christ? Oh, come on. Not for Reverend Welch, not for Reverend Hansbrough. Oh, only what you do for Christ will last. And that's why folk don't stay nowhere, because they're not doing it for Christ. They're doing it for themselves. Listen. I really don't have to be the pastor, but I'm going to church somewhere on Sunday morning. I sat 8 years under Isaiah Taylor. I turned down churches that called me to be the pastor. Listen, I'm not doing it for anybody but the Lord. And so it doesn't matter whether you like how loud I sing, if I sing off key, it really don't matter. Because I'm not doing it for you, I'm doing it for the Lord. You're not doing it. Listen. Those who preach or sing or whatever you do, God put you in that ministry. God gifted you with the ability. God gave you the power. And you're not doing it in your own strength. You're doing it in the power of God. So it says to Timothy, stir up the gift that's in you. If they don't like it, sing anyhow. If they talk about you, play anyway. If they laugh at you, shout anyhow. If they don't say thank you, be an encourager anyway, because here is the next part of Paul's. He says to Timothy, he says, as a sinner, as a saint, as a servant, but when God saved me, he made me a showpiece. Verse 16, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show both all longsuffering for pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Paul says, in other words, God saved me to put me on display. God saved me to put me on display. He saved me as a pattern, as a sketch, as an outline, as a summary exposition. This is what can happen to a life that's in God's hand. And so everywhere you go, you're on display. You are a showpiece. You are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Everywhere you go, people are looking at you. Everywhere you go, folk are watching you, especially the folk that used to know you. God says through Paul, look at what I can do with a life that's in my hands. Maybe there are some displays, some showcases, folk in this place this morning who know that you are where you are and who you are, not because you deserve it, but because God chose to put your life on display. And some of the most vile, low-down sinners are the best shouters. Let me say that again. Some of the most vile, low-down sinners are the best shouters. They are the best praisers, the best worshipers, because they know where God has brought them from. Can I call a few witnesses? A woman had an issue of blood, and Jesus came walking through the crowd. And she had spent all that she had been taken advantage of by all of the doctors. But she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just touch his garment, I know I'll be made whole. Jesus walked through the crowd, and the woman says, this is my last chance. So she grabbed his clothes and he stopped. And when he stopped, the issue of blood stopped. Jesus said, somebody touch me. And I'm sure it was Peter that said, Lord, all these people, somebody's bound to touch you. Jesus said, no, I didn't say somebody bumped into me. He said, somebody touch me. Because when they grabbed me, I felt virtue, I felt power run out of me. He said, when he touched my clothes, that woman raised her hand. Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. If she can testify, she would say, the Lord had mercy on me. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Jesus said, show me where you buried him. They rolled the stone away. Martha said, Lord, he's stinking by now. He's been in the grave. But Jesus said, you're going to see your brother again. She said, I know I will at the resurrection. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. In other words, what you're looking for, you're looking at. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again. He that lives in me and believes in me shall never, never die. If Lazarus were here, he'd tell you, the Lord had mercy on me. They were out there in a desert place, and there was nowhere to buy bread, and there was a little boy with 2 fish and 5 barley loaves. Jesus fed a multitude of 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. If they were here, they would tell you that the Lord has mercy on me. And they are Bible witnesses. But I don't have to go to the Bible. There's somebody here today that has your own testimony that the Lord had mercy on me. If the Lord opened door for you, help me tell somebody the Lord had mercy. If the Lord made a way for you, help me be a witness this morning that the Lord had mercy. If the Lord's been good to you, help me testify that the Lord had mercy. If you don't want to testify, oh, I've got my own testimony. I never would have made it without the Lord. I've been up sometimes, I've been down sometimes, but he promised never to leave me alone. And I've got to leave you now. But is there anybody here can be a witness today that the Lord show been good to me? Is there anybody here can be a witness today that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, why don't you grab somebody, why don't you hug somebody and tell them you don't know like I know. You see my glory, but you don't know my story. The Lord made a way for me. The Lord picked me up, turned me around. It was nobody but the Lord. And I can't help myself. The Lord's been good to me. The Lord's brought me all of the way. Ain't he all right? Ain't the Lord all right? Can you say glory? Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for raising me. And all I can do is say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? The mercy and the grace of God. Were not for the grace of God, where would it be? He kept my enemies away. Let the sun shine through a cloudy day. Rock me. Won't he do it? In the cradle of his arms. When he knew I had been battered and scarred. So if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? The doors of the church open today.